Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Tora.
And this is our podcast, Parenting Young Adults with Kim and Tora. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we have a guest to join us, and this is Tora's friend, Tammy, joining us today.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi, ladies.
Hi. Hello.
Thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me.
You look so beautiful.
Oh, thanks. I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Yeah, absolutely not. This is just girlfriends having some talk time.
I've never done this before.
Well, it's going to be fine. You know, it's going to be fun. Not only is it going to be fine, it's going to be fun. So, Tora, did you want to introduce Tammy? Or Tammy, would you like to introduce yourself?
I think Tammy should introduce herself because we've got to know how to tell the audience how to pronounce that beautiful last French last name.
Okay. Well, my name is Tamara Toomson, and most people call me Tammy. My friends and family call me Tammy. And it is actually German, Toomson is. So I grew up in Rhode Island, but my family is from the South, Alabama and Florida. I have two kids. They're adults now. Yay! Empty nest life. So what else do you want to know?
Okay, we want to hear about your beautiful career, and we definitely want to know what college you attended.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a teacher. I'm a career educator. I'm no longer in the classroom now. I am a behavior interventionist at one of our local elementary schools. I used to be a high school health teacher for many, many years, a couple of decades. So I thought once my daughter went off to college, I would do something different and drop down to the elementary level.
Okay.
And for undergrad, I am a Howard University Bison. And I was the first person actually to graduate with the degree of health education. It was a brand new degree back in the day. So I was the first one to finish with that. Because back then it was just phys ed with a concentration in health. And this was a brand new concentration of strictly health education, no physical education. So yeah, that was a few decades ago, more than two. And then I went from grad school, I went to University of Delaware.
Okay.
So I got my master's.
Is that HBCU too?
It is not. That's Del State that you're thinking of, Delaware State. Yeah. So University of Delaware, I got my master's in family studies.
Okay. And you must brag on my babies now. I'm sorry.
Yes, I wanted to know how old are your children?
My son is 24 and my daughter is 21 and she just finished 2.5 weeks ago from Boston University with her degree in biomedical engineering. And Tora's daughters and my daughter are very good friends. Actually, my daughter was at Tora's house last night for hours and hours and hours.
Yes. that's my baby. I'm sorry.
That's her third daughter. That's Tora's third daughter. And so, yeah, the girls were gymnasts together. So they grew up together. They've been friends and teammates since, well, my daughter was 8 years old. So I guess your daughter was 7 and 5, maybe? Because they were around that age. So yeah. They've been friends all their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Tammy, for coming on with us today. Your children are right around. Well, you know, they're close to Tora's daughter's ages. Mm-hmm. I have a 21-year-old son and an 18-year-old daughter. So I'm right behind you there. Yep. And, you know, I think it's phenomenal that you're an educator. We need that. We appreciate all of you. We know it's not
thank you,
easy.
Kim. It is not. Thank you for that.
You are welcome. And you said that you're a behavior interventionist now.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you work with special education children?
Well, some of them are. But now back in our day when we were growing up, it would be like the dean of the school, the person who handles the discipline problems, unless it's too big of an issue and I have to call in the principal to do it. The school that I'm at is a very small elementary, about 300 students. So we do not have an assistant principal. But there are several of us who have those credentials. So, you know, we step in to do that type of a job.
Okay, because I do special education law. And so I work with trained behavior specialists, you know, to prove cases or, you know, whatever the case may be. So when I heard that, I thought, that sounds familiar. But
interesting.
All right. So Tora, did you have some issues? We didn't discuss what our issues were, but since Tammy's your friend, I know you had something in mind when you invited her. What would you like to discuss?
Of course. I'm always wanting to get inside of the parent's head of how did you raise a successful child? I think all of us are on that path. Clearly Eric, her son, is definitely on that path. He's a workaholic right now. He can't even come to the birthday party that that we were invited to because he has to work. And he also is in college, but Michaela is just, oh my gosh. She's the one I was telling you about. She has a Fortune 500 company waiting for her and she's going to be doing absolutely great. What did it take? I mean, everybody wants to know because right now, you know, and I was just telling Kim the other day that fentanyl overdose for our children's age is on the rise, like shaking on the rise. And I'm constantly, they can tell you, they were here last night wanting me to shut up. I'm like, so if y'all even smoke weed, they're lacing weed with, and they're just like, will you shut up? No one smokes weed. I'm like, I'm just trying to tell y'all. I mean, don't put your drinks down. They putting fentanyl. There's like, according to you, they putting fentanyl in everything. I'm like, yes, because I'm in the know. Like I'm in the know. I know these things and it's on the rise. So how do you keep your daughter so grounded that the worst thing she's trying to do is get a tattoo, which you know, y'all know how I feel about that thing.
Oh, she told you about that, huh?
So you know it was like, you're not getting it. But it's just gonna be a little, we're not doing this. Then, you know, I told them that I'm gonna die if they get one. So if they don't want me to die, then they should not get it. Like I put all the juju out on it, so.
Big guilt trip. Yeah. Did it work?
I hope not. I hope it didn't work. I mean, I kind of want them to still do that thing, but I just want them to have the fear of God inside of them when they don't.
Right. Well, when I was raising them, I'm a big believer in it takes a village. Mm-hmm. So yes, as you know, Tora, I divorced when they were 9 and 12. Mm-hmm. So, but my family rallied around the kids because we did not want their routines to be disrupted because that part of their lives had been disrupted. So I'm a firm believer in it takes a village. Yes, I was here 99% of the time with them as they were growing up and going to school and doing their things and gymnastics and whatever my son was into, robotics and et cetera. But they have a lot of family support. Mm-hmm. And then as you know, we are a family of educators. Mm-hmm. So they always had to do well in school. Because if they weren't doing well in school, they were going to hear from the grandmother.
Yes.
They're going to hear from their great aunt. They're going to hear from, you know, the grandfather. So we're all educators. So they didn't have a chance when it came to when it came to their education. But no, they've always had a lot of family support from day one. Mm-hmm. So I'm a firm believer in it.
How takes, about discipline?
I don't take 100% credit for mm-hmm. what they've done. And with my daughter, I feel like some of that is within her anyway. Mm-hmm. Her drive, her determination. You've known her since she was 8 years old.
Yes.
But that is, yeah, from years and years of gymnastics. And then their coach, where we met at that gym, their mm-hmm. coach was Chinese Kim. And, you mm-hmm. know, that work ethic. You have to maintain excellence in the gym. You have to maintain excellence in school. So a lot of that came from her. I never, with either one of the kids, I never had to say, did you do your homework? Mm-hmm. Go and do your homework. I never had to do that with any of them because it was instilled in them from pre-K.
Right.
That school was important. And this is not, that's not a choice.
Mm-hmm. So. How about discipline? Did you feel like, of course I, you know, rule with an iron thumb fist. So my kids think that I tell everybody they swear for God I beat them, but it's with my voice. You know, I'm a yeller and screamer. So of course I'm constantly saying what I want to say to them in disciplined ways as a yell. But I know you don't yell. Like Tammy.
Oh, I yell.
She thinks that's yelling. The voice she said that's a yell.
I bet you every mother yells. We don't want to yell. And we probably have said we're not going to yell, but how are you not going to yell raising children at some
point? I was yelling last year in 2020 during the pandemic. With
Tell them about that.
Who are back in the house and, Mom, why are you yelling? You don't have to yell. Like, if you do what I tell you to do, like, don't leave dishes in my sink.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Don't leave your bathroom nasty.
Yes.
If you don't, then I don't have to yell. You don't have to hear me because I don't want to live like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I keep telling people if there is no perfect way to raise children. Like even the best children, like I really feel Michaela is an example for the rest of them coming up behind her that, you know, she got it honest. You know, she was disciplined. She, you know, was given things and she'd had things taken away. But at the end of the day, she still is a good kid and she's doing great things in life, but it does come with a village. So I know there's a lot of mothers out here that will not give any credit. Well, mothers will say, I raised these kids by myself and it was a struggle, but at least you give your village credit. And I'm a witness. Yeah. I've seen everybody, you know, jump in and be like, no, you know, but I think that comes with you too, Tammy. I think that comes with you being a good person. You know,
even
what I'm
you
saying?
Jumped in and helped. Well, like when she was forgotten at the gym and wasn't picked up, you know, your husband said, Tammy, where is he? He hasn't picked up Michaela yet. You know, he's like, nope, we're not leaving her. We're bringing her home. You know, Absolutely. So even Absolutely. You all were part of her village.
And I appreciate that from him. And of course, you know, seeing them grow up, it seems like it was just yesterday they were babies. So of course, every time I watch them sleep on the couch, they still pretend when I walk in the door, they're sleep on the couch. But I get them with the same thing. I go, oh my God, who dropped all this money? And they both jump up. Everybody jump up and look for the money. Like all these years, this was something they did at 12 and they still doing it at 22 and 21.
Yeah,
so it makes me a little chuckle when we reflect back on our youth. But how do you talk to your kids about drugs? Like I said, it's on the rise. How do you talk to them about not trying to be in the in crowd? Well, what's your fear, if any fear?
Fortunately, I mean, not now that they're really in their 20s and basically on their own, but when they were coming up, me being a health teacher, and that was one of the subjects that I would teach my high school students. So anything that I would teach my high school students, I'm like, all right, Tam, you got to go home and teach your own two that you gave birth to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it came to reproduction and birth control and obviously the drugs and things, I'm like, I'm doing it as a job, but these two that I gave birth to are the most important people in my life.
Right.
So I would have to, you know, reset my brain and have those difficult conversations with them, but there were expectations.
You talk birth control with Eric too?
Absolutely. When he was in middle school, he asked me, we were driving somewhere. I don't know where we were. He's like, Mommy, where do you get condoms? I'm like, oh, really? Condoms?
Yeah. Middle school?
Yeah. We're going to the Giant because it's right here off of Reaver Road. He's like, wait, where are we going? Where are we going?
Oh my God.
Like, oh, we're going to go have a little lesson right now. He's like, wait, what are you doing? I said, come on, we're going to go into the store and get some at the grocery store. I mean, we didn't get any, but I showed him where they were.
Okay.
You know, just in case, since he was curious.
Let's
make this a teachable moment.
Yeah, I still remember the teachable moment when we did sex ed with Mia at your house. That was an amazing time. Of course, I was
I show you my pretty pictures?
Yes.
My pretty pictures. Kim, I have pictures of STDs.
Oh.
And when students, well, you know, their friends would come over and they, Mommy, you show so-and-so there. I said, oh, let me go get my pretty pictures. So if you ever see anything that looks like this coming to you, you better run.
Kim, I was so scared. I had to act like I was cool for Mia, but I was like, what? Oh my God. I could not believe some of the stuff that's out there. So I'm glad she got to see it. I think we scared Victoria straight because I still don't know what she's doing. I don't even know. She might be saving it for Jesus or something. I don't know. But
Mia does date,
and she's never, of course, you know, had anything or been pregnant. So that's something that I say to my children, that growing up and hearing the stories that I heard, we skip past all of that stuff. And I know that a lot of parents go through that with teen pregnancy and STDs. Mm. We skip past that, thank the Lord. And that was definitely difficult. But let's get into just one more thing about Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Dating. He doesn't date in his race. Is that okay? Are we comfortable talking about that?
Can I just say a few things before we go there? Because I think that might be a long conversation. We've had it with a previous guest.
Mm-hmm.
One, I want to say for those single mothers out there who don't have a village, it's okay. I didn't have one. It was really hard. Some of those days were dark. I'm an only child.
Oh, me too.
So you are. My mom didn't help because she didn't raise me. So I'm not sure she knew what to do to help. Mm-hmm. My dad was sickly. So, I mean, I had a few friends. I don't want to discount. I don't want to say that every single thing and every moment was all me. Right. They also had their dad who, you know, still did some things on weekends or still picked them up in the morning for school, mm-hmm. to take them to school. But I remember a very long time when I never went out, never, just in it. It stresses you out so much because the pressure just builds, builds, and builds, and there's no venting. But I'm here, and my kids are here.
What do you mean you never went out?
And they're okay, and we're fine. So for those who don't have a village, sometimes those days may seem dark or difficult, but you'll get through it. And as long as you're giving your best, you and your kids will turn out okay.
When you say you didn't go out, what do you mean? Like go out with your girlfriends, boyfriends, friends?
I didn't go out because there's nobody to go out with. Their dad was working an evening shift. There's nobody else to help. So every day you work and then, you know, the kids, each of them has something to do maybe a couple days a week. And then on the weekend, you're trying to provide enrichment experiences. Okay. I never went out. There was a time when I met another lawyer, a female lawyer. And I told you about this. So she came and she was like, you have to do something different. You don't have any life. Your kids don't need to go somewhere every day. Mm-hmm. You need to get your life back. And then I just started slowly coming back into, I'll go out. Yeah, I'll meet you or, you know, whatever. It's okay. I mean, and again, even she was a part of my village in terms of telling me, come on, your kids are going to be better if you're better. You got to diversify a little bit. So
you didn't go out with your girlfriends with the kids? Like Tammy and I did stuff together with our kids.
But sometimes you need to go without. Like I went to the skating rink and we met their friends and you know, whatever. We did stuff like that, but I'm talking about as a parent, really for your mental health.
Okay.
You need some time when your children aren't there.
So true.
And you're not in mommy mode, so you can rejuvenate and refill yourself and then come back and be so glad. Oh, I missed you guys so
yes,
much.
Yes,
but
right.
If you don't get, I just stayed in. I mean, you know, I'm not saying I literally stayed in the house 24/7. I'm saying that they were with me all the time. We did stuff all the time and there was no break. And some of the people who would offer, because it's not like I don't have, I have a really big family, but some of the people who would offer, I didn't want to.
We both get it.
I just didn't want to. And then the other thing with the condoms, there came a point where I just bought some and gave them to my son and said, if you're going to do that, you have to use these. And you don't even have to tell me if you're using them or not, but this is what I really need you to do.
Right.
And I don't think he used them. From where he set them, I could see that they hadn't been used, but I was like, we have really got to wrap our minds around this because you must put this on if you think you want to do that.
Was this high school or college?
High school.
Yeah, I did it, but I think I was late. I was college. I did that same thing.
By college, they have baskets of them at the health center.
In my mind, I was just thinking my son wasn't doing anything. So I gave him a gift basket and it had all those in there. So in my mind, but he later told me that it was out.
You were late?
Yeah, I was way late.
Okay. Well, no, I did it in high school and I wouldn't say that he did or didn't do anything, but he didn't use those.
Okay.
One, because I constantly saw them, but I'm like, I don't care. Do what you need to do. Right. Don't you do that because, you know, teen pregnancy doesn't necessarily, it just makes your life more difficult. You can still achieve everything you want to achieve, but it's going to be more difficult when you've got a baby in tow.
I wouldn't recommend it. And I was one. And I'm telling you, it was the worst life ever for anyone. People can say whatever they want, especially maybe if you have a mom who takes over and raises the kid with you and for you. But when you're doing it on your own, you have no life. And my kids throw that in my face all the time. Get a life. You need a life. You don't have a life. We're your life. What would you be without us? I mean, literally, this is a conversation we have all the time. So teen pregnancy, when they got out of the teens, it was the happiest day of my life. I felt like they conquered so many of the goals I wanted to conquer because I was always afraid of that. Even for my son. Even for my son, I mean, he was 31 when he had his first kid, but still, you know, it was stressful.
I can't believe your children say stuff like that to you. And I have said to my kids, you know, what I'd be doing is living my life. Like, yeah. Don't be mistaken. Your presence in my life has enhanced my life greatly. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't change it for the world, but I was living a life before, and I'm going into that empty nest phase too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm definitely trying to live a life now. What do we do without you? We're going to live.
I know that
you're going to live. You know that you have things that you're interested in and that you do.
So many things. And I know once they see the things that I have planned for myself, that I'm not going to have that much time for them. I really think they're going to have a problem with that. I really, truly do. Because I have smothered them. I mean, I love them. I smother them. But I also want my own life now.
It's time. I feel it's just, absolutely. I'm like, saw that little TikTok thing with that lady dancing, saying how she reclaims her life after the college. I'm like, yes.
I saw that. I actually saved that to my phone. She's my inspiration of, yes, we're going to reclaim ourselves. Mm-hmm. We've been doing, Tammy and I have been doing wine days. She's getting packed up to, we're ready to send, look, you hear me say, we're ready to send Michaela to Boston. Mm-hmm. So
She graduated from Boston U?
She graduated 2 weeks ago. So yeah.
Her job is there.
She got hired. It was official. We were on the New Jersey Turnpike, headed back here.
Yep.
Okay. She got word that she got the job.
That's so wonderful. Congratulations to you and
her. Thank you.
You are welcome.
So, you know, I already hit her up for money already and everything.
What?
Yeah, I told her, I'm going to give you a list of bills that I need. I said, I want you to play this because I see you making more money. Gosh, she's going to be
cheap. You will be.
Yes. She's making
more money than me, mm-hmm. Which isn't hard to do when you're in education, but...
I mean, that's unfortunate because we have some mixed priorities. I mean, look how much we pay a basketball player,
absolutely,
or a football player,
absolutely,
and the person who's educating our child. We don't want to pay them. Not we.
Nope.
System,
yeah,
doesn't want to pay them anything. So, okay. So on to the fascinating topic of dating.
Yes. Do you mind if we talk about Eric's dating life? Because I don't mind. No. You know, I don't mind. I love kids dating whoever they want to date, mm-hmm. But all of our kids, well, not Kim kids, but our kids definitely date outside of being the Black race.
Your daughter too, or your just your son, Tammy?
Her too.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of where we live.
I agree.
I really do.
I think we're the product of their environment. I tell my kids the same thing.
You know, they were always the minority in classes. I mean, even in high school, let me see, he had one Black teacher in high school.
Oh, wow. What high school did he go to?
He went to South River.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I have some, yeah.
He was in the STEM magnet program.
Okay.
And
I know another little girl who was in, not a little girl, young lady,
uh-huh.
who was in STEM at South River. She was a volleyball player. She was Black too. But maybe.
How old is she?
I was trying to think because she's a couple years older than my kids. You know her?
He probably does.
I'm probably going to mute her name out. But anyway. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he probably does. Because they only had two Black boys in the class of 2014, him and another one. Wow. And there were one or two Black girls, but that was it out of 100 STEM kids.
My brother sent a picture who lives in Atlanta of his son second day of school. And my kids were looking at the picture and they were like, well, who's all the kids? Like, is that his family? And I was like, no, these are the students because he goes to a Black school mm-hmm. and they were all Black kids. And my kids completely couldn't even fathom that. They were like,
right.
What? Every kid in the class is Black. I was like, wow, we have deprived y'all of
I never everything. Get where your kids how they have such a different perspective from my kids mm-hmm. when they went to the same high school in the same grades. Mia is in the same grade as Jordan. Mm-hmm. Victoria is in the same grade as Iman. They went to the same school.
Oh, they went to Annapolis High School as well.
And see, Mia and Victoria were in the programs that they were in high school definitely diverted them from their peers.
But my kids were both in a theater program. They were in because that's not even our neighborhood school.
Right.
So they were in a magnet program with all those white kids and that white teacher who I actually really liked, Dana, mm-hmm. before she left. They didn't have the same, it's like we're in the same, we all are living the same life, but we're on different frequencies. We're on different spaces. Yeah. They didn't have that experience at this high school.
And I used to teach at that high school. I taught mm-hmm. at that high school for 6 years.
Yes, you did.
You taught there?
Mm-hmm. I did.
And did you find it to be quite diverse, right?
Oh, it's extremely diverse. Yeah. It's extremely diverse. I mean, I was shocked when I got there, when we moved here in 2004, because you're thinking, oh, it's going to be haughty-taughty, and oh my mm-hmm. goodness. And I get there, I'm like, where am I? No, yeah. It definitely is.
Yeah.
Two schools in one, or maybe even three, because you have IB, you have the PBA, you have, you know, general. So
that's what they were, PBA, and now you might have four schools in one, because you have a whole Latin, Latino.
That's huge there.
They're taking over that school toward the end of my kids' academic tenure there, but I mean, to be honest with you, that high school could be a bit off the chain, in fact, because you don't have all that stuff.
Tammy and I have stories a bit.
Yeah, you don't have that stuff that's going on. I remember one time my son had a party. Some of those kids, I was like, no, son, never again. Don't you bring them here and expose mm-hmm. them to where we live and how we live. That's dangerous. Mm-hmm. You know?
It was a rude awakening, because you're thinking, you know, when I got the job in 2004, you're thinking Naval Academy and by the water mm-hmm. and
the capital and all
exactly. It's quite urban, as you know, people like to say. So
how do you feel that Eric dates outside of his race? As a man, as a Black man in today's world?
I mean, obviously, I would like for him to explore more options.
Mm-hmm.
actually, the other day, we went out to dinner. My daughter. My daughter was one of her very good friends, and her boyfriend, actually, her fiance, who's actually Black. Mm-hmm. Myself and my boyfriend, we mm-hmm. all went out to dinner. And so the girls and the men were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then the girls and me, we were talking on this side of the table, and we got his cell phone. We're like, let's look at your profile. So we looked at his profile, and we're liking and not liking females on there.
Okay.
And then her friend opened up his profile, I guess, opened up, mm-hmm. you know, his likes or dislikes mm-hmm. as far as what he's looking for.
Is the dating profile?
Yes.
It's on a dating app.
Okay. It's one of the dating apps.
Okay.
And so the friend, she's like, oh no, he needs more diversity. And she hit Black, African American. She hit, you know, Hispanic, Latino. She hit Pacific Islander, Asian, da 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 da. She hit every single button. And then we start looking at who would pop.
Oh my God.
So he had only
what do I do with my phone?
Initially? Had he only clicked? He only clicked white initially.
Yes, Kim.
Oh mm-hmm. wow. Okay. Okay.
Oh my. And I've asked my son. You know, of course, his child is with an African American woman, which totally surprised everybody in my family, because everyone asked, "Well, who's the baby mother look like? Who's the?" And I was very proud to say she's, you know, a Black woman.
Right.
But I asked him before, what was the, you know, issue or what was the reason why? And he said to me, it was easier. Hurt my little feelings a little bit, but he said dating white women was easier. And I said,
oh, my cousin has always said that. He's 44. Really? And that's all he has ever dated.
And he's dating one now?
What's easier about it? Do they say what's easier?
They did. He has said that we have too much mouth. We speak up too much. White women don't. Okay. They comply.
That may be true. I mean, I can't dispute it if that's his experience.
Right.
We're known for letting you know a few things.
but don't you think it's brought on? I think it's brought on. I don't think we just set out like that. I feel like you do something to us, we can't keep it in. I feel like if you don't do anything to us, then you have a perfect life.
Right. Well, apparently you can do something to them and they don't say anything because you know they're doing stuff to them too. I mean, these are...
Oh, okay, men. Now I understand. I mean,
based on what the statements are, it would appear. Yeah.
Okay, so now I get it. So if you do something to them, they won't say, have you lost your mind, you know?
Did Steve say why it was easier?
He told me the dating process was easy. Like, Yeah, the dating, like we want to wine, dine, court, take us, you know, do the things you're supposed to do. Mm. And then we might can make love if I'm feeling you in a couple weeks. He said with them, it was like, you know, hey, what's up? What you doing? Want to hook up? Yep.
Oh, well, we're going to continue to be like that. I don't recommend going down that road.
That's what I said. Right. I said the same thing. I said, can you believe? I said, no. He was like, yeah. He's like, it's no drama in it. And I said, so that feels like drama to y'all, that we were like, okay, don't call me after 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock because nothing's open. We can't go to the movies. We can't go to dinner. So why are you even calling me, asking me, what am I doing? Clearly, you know, not doing you. He says, yeah, that's too much. You can call them at 11 o'clock and be like, hey, what's up? I miss you. You know, I want to see you. You can give them, you know, say whatever you want, you know, and they're just flabbergasted and they're like, hey, why don't you come over? You know, you can even get them to cook. And I was like, oh.
I'm going to recommend they go ahead and run with that because I don't want my daughter doing any of that. Right. I'm going to stay over here, you know.
Yeah. Not at all. And I feel like, and at first I was taken back and was like, well, should we be a little bit softer or should we, you know, put forth a little bit more? But then I was like, no, I couldn't see it. I can't see it.
Not with regard to that. I mean, some of us could stand to tame that mouth. I mean, clearly. Mm-hmm. But like just being available to have sex at the drop of a dime and make you dinner and breakfast at the drop. We don't need to do that. We need to respect ourselves so they can respect us.
And I asked him, I said, does that make you feel more of a man having a woman cater to you like that? And he's like, not necessarily making you feel more of a man, but it makes you feel more wanted. And I was like, what? That makes you feel more wanted? So Black women don't make you feel more wanted with what we bring to the table, which is trying to elevate you because we know you can be better than where we found you 9 times out of 10. Like if we don't get you fresh off the basketball court in the NBA or NFL or doctor, lawyer, if you're, you know, having your little 9-to-5 job, we know like, okay, this is nice, but we know we see potential in you. We're not just, you know, happy to just be with you because you're a Black man. We know some people are. You know,
some Black women are too. Realistically, some women are pretty thirsty these days.
Really?
So, don't always. You think so, Tammy?
I do.
Yeah, I mean,
thirsty.
I
don't know if that's ever Black man or a man.
A man.
Oh, any, whatever. They're just gonna cling on no matter what they're doing, and you know the stories like Baby Boy. The movie where they give them the card or drop them off at work and then the dudes outride. That stuff is reality too. True. So I guess it depends on the caliber or type. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Okay. But so Tammy, your uncle said it was easier.
My cousin
said it was easier with white women. What does your son say about that?
He hasn't done a whole lot of dating yet. So he's had a couple of girlfriends, but nothing that's been 2 or 3 years worth.
Okay.
So yeah, he's just now really starting to get into that.
So when the girls opened up his profile and said, you need more diversity and start punching stuff and other women start popping up, young ladies started popping up, did he have
a reaction? Didn't see them. We had his phone for about 15 or 20 minutes and we liked every. So we don't know when we gave him his phone back and he drove off to his apartment. I'm not sure what he did with that profile. Other than he probably changed it back to just having, you know, interested in white women.
And on that subject, it just popped in my head. I knew I wanted to talk to you about something we've discussed about dating outside of our race. And one thing we talked about was Caucasian men weren't interested in light-skinned
women.
And I don't
think so. I've never dated.
And I investigated that. And I found that it was somewhat true. I asked a couple of white guys, why is it that my friend felt like this? And they said, be honest with you, when white guys want to go to the other side, they want to go to the other side.
They really want to go to the other side. That's what I've always said. I didn't know that for sure. But when you see a white man with a black woman, she's not light like me.
Nope.
9 times out of 10. She is not this fair.
Natural form. Yep.
And she probably has some locks or some bantu.
She does. Exactly.
So they really tend to go black.
They really go. I'm too close to what they're getting away from. So they're not going to go. I have an aunt who said that to me a few years ago. She said, damn, why'd you? Because I was having terrible luck. Mm-hmm. So why don't you just go, you know, date white women? I mean, white men. And I said, white men don't like me. They may like me from a distance, say, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to ask me out or anything. Because when they go black, they go black.
And that's what they're looking for.
So yeah. I'm going to pivot. You said a couple years ago you were having a little difficulty.
A few years ago.
Then just recently you said you and your boyfriend and these people and their fiance. So what turned the tide for you in that regard, do you think?
Trying to not give up. If I hadn't met this person, I gave myself 30 days. I said, if I don't meet someone on this app, I'm done. It's just going to be me and the old dog.
You did it on an app, on a dating app.
I did.
Okay.
I did. And he's been wonderful. We've been together for 2 years. A little over 2 years.
I have heard of people even getting married off the app. So,
yeah.
I mean, apparently it's really legitimate.
Yeah. And the person who told me to get on an app, this was probably 8, 9, 10 years ago. And the person who told me you should get on an app, get on one of those dating apps. So-and-so met her husband on a dating app, blah, 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 was my mother, who is the number one person scared of technology.
Yeah. I feel like that was yesterday. She said that.
Girl, that was, geez, probably 2000.
That was when? 10?
Yeah. 2010?
Yeah.
11? I can't remember. Yeah.
But so. She came through. You never know who you're going to hear it through.
I've had a whole lot of frogs. And
They were hilarious frogs, though. They were
ridiculous. Like I said, I mean, I'd had enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I haven't met the new one, and that means he's definitely someone good, because I vet a lot of them. Well, not a lot, but I vetted some, and we kind of knew, like, yeah.
And at the store, came to the kids' graduation parties when Eric finished in 2014, and when Michaela finished 4 years ago from high school, and they're like, no.
Yeah, no.
No, not that one.
Like, so I think this one is the real deal. Okay. I think this one is the real deal.
Well, that's good. So there's hope for the rest of us then.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And what I realize now, only problem I feel like we have is that there's a woman out there who wants a married man. I don't know when this came about. And I have one in my very own family that I'm not speaking to right now because of that same thing. And it's like, come on, when did we lower our standards to the point? And they say it out in the open, I just don't want all that commitment. I'm like, what?
Forever that's been happening.
Yeah.
Forever.
I was in the closet for a long time because I didn't know that this was a forever thing. You know, I knew that men cheated. I knew that women cheated, but I didn't know that they were okay with having a whole relationship as if they're the other person. Like, are you kidding me? I'm not okay with that.
No, I'm not okay with it. I was just saying that it's not a new thing.
Right. It happens.
And right. I would never do that because I would never want that karma in any relationship.
And that's exactly what it's going to be.
But a lot of wimps, side chick, they just call it that now, but it's always.
Yeah, that's the name. It's called side chick. I'm like, what? They even have a name now? Like,
remember Mistress? They were always.
Yeah, it was Mistress. It was Mistress when I was talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're side chicks and it's like a glamour thing. Like, what? Are you kidding me? No, we're not sharing that.
Right.
That's not what we're going to do. You could go on. I'll be single forever if I have to share a man. I'm just not
Didn't have to knowingly share one. I think that most of the time, we're really on a different topic, but it's all relevant. I think that most of the time, well, a lot of the time, when women are sharing, they don't realize they're sharing because the man is cheating.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes that is true. I just said sharing. That. Yeah, that's true. I saw that story. This woman didn't even know till the funeral. And I saw that on like social media. She went in there thinking she was, you know, she was wondering why the mother didn't want her to help out with the obituary and all of this. And when she went in there, it's because he had a whole wife, he had a kids, and he had everything. And she still doesn't know how he pulled it off. But he had a secret job that nobody could know where he worked.
Well, so there you go.
Yeah, I know. I was like, girl, you got a book deal coming up with that one.
Not about that.
I know I'm not gay, y'all. I know I'm not gay. I got groped the other night by a drunk woman, and she locked on me, my lower half, and wouldn't let it go. And I was, So I know I've been fat checked. I was like, if you don't remove your hand.
No way.
Yes.
I've been hit on, but not touched like that. And I remember my aunt teasing me like, she really, because you know, the woman just was constantly in our area, but don't touch me now. That's too much.
Yeah, and the woman who did it is gay. So I was just like, very like, okay. I was offended, and I didn't know I didn't think I would get offended if someone ever, because I remember my sister getting hit on, and she was smiling, and we got in the car. I was like, why are you smiling so hard? She said, I'll let you know I can pull both of them, and it was funny to me like that.
But maybe if the lady hadn't put her hands on you, you might have been, boosted, because she took it too far. If she had just said something, it might have been a different experience.
Yeah, you're right. And then I was with Antron, and he just thought it was hilarious, so... he thought that was so. He just kept leaving and finding it funny, and I was like, "Really? You think this is funny?" You know? He was like, "Oh my god,
that is a little amusing."
So I had to let y'all know that was hilarious to me.
That's funny.
Oh, I found out I'm not into women.
You were unsure before, but
right, I was very unsure. Very unsure. Well, if the men can't do it, everybody's going this way. I was like, "Oh no, not me."
I've always known that. I mean, I don't have a problem with people who do go that way, but I've never even been curious. Never been anything that I ever wanted to know.
Dipped in a lady pond. I'm good.
Never.
Carpet munchers.
Nope.
We heard this woman say this before. We won't say
my students, when I was teaching high school, that's where I learned that phrase.
Yeah, that's what I wasn't going to say where it was from, but I was like, oh.
Well, you can bleep it out.
That was hilarious to me. I had never heard that before, but I'm open.
There is another one too, but I guess I won't say it since it's being recorded.
We'll put it on our wine date.
I'll type it in the chat. That won't be seen, will it?
No, it won't if you type it in the chat.
Okay. I asked one of my students, I said, are you like your sister who was a lesbian? And she said, no, Ms. Johnson, I was married back then. I'm this.
Oh, I've heard that. I've heard that. One of my girlfriends that I go way back with has said that for decades.
Really? I love that.
I said it last night to Antoine.
I spelled it wrong.
That's so
good. I spelled it right. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it looks right.
Yeah.
But so circling back to the dating of our children. Mm-hmm. You said your son hasn't dated a lot. Has your daughter dated more, do you think?
No, I mean, as my mother says, I was very lucky when they were growing up. You know, she was a middle school teacher for 30 years. I've been a high school teacher for the majority of my career. And oftentimes when kids have early relationships, you know, you see kids who have, you know, ninth grade, they're just so in love. I'm in love. I love him. I love her. It can ruin kids. Their academics fall. You know, they start failing classes. They start lying to their parents and sneaking out. So they didn't date in high school. No rule that I put into place. They were busy with their academics and busy with their sport or, you know, club or whatever it was that they were doing. So they were easy to raise. And I kind of got out of there, you know, until they went off to college. I pretty much got out of it unscathed because I didn't have those rebellious teenage years that so many parents have to deal with when their kids are, you know, in high school and moving to the next phase of their life. I didn't have to deal with that. So now he's just now starting to really get out there and date. So she keeps her business close to the vest. I don't give a whole lot out of her.
Yeah. So. Don't worry, I got my
glass. I get some out of her, but not a whole lot.
I got my glass to the wall. I'll be trying to listen.
But let me tell you something. When they were in high school, I was so glad, you know, when it's prom time and the school that she went to Broadneck and, you know, not a lot of us here in this area. And I was just so happy that someone did a promposal for her. Like, oh, yes, my baby got a promposal. Yay. You know, because she had an expensive gown.
Yes.
And my mother's old fashioned is like, you know, you have a gown that expensive, you should have an escort. So she got her promposal and she had a date, which was great. And then Eric had a date.
Plus, our kids didn't want a date. You're right. Mia didn't want one. I made her get one. She didn't want one either.
My kids didn't want a date. I had a rule that my daughter could not date until she was 16. 16 came and went. You know, no dates. My son did have an early relationship, probably ninth grade, but then that ended weirdly. Fortunately, and then he really didn't date, to the point that I was saying to them, well, you know, I think we all need to date, myself included, we need to date,
right?
You know, and so now he dates, she dates too, they're dating, so okay. I mean, I'm not pressing them to date. I met the young lady that he dates because they're up here now.
Okay.
The young man that she dates, I did not meet. When I went down there, I wanted to meet him, but the time just gets so crazy. And he's in down south where she is. So I haven't met yet, but I'm sure I will.
Of course.
You know.
Of course.
I mean, and also they're not like, you know what, these are new relationships. I'm not insinuating that there's some long-term something that's all significant.
Marriage isn't on the horizon.
Yeah, no, they're just starting to date.
Right.
Which is good. I think you need some experience with who you like, what you did like. Oh, I didn't like that. I like this. I want to do that again. So that you can, by the time you do want to get married, you have a good sense of what's really going to work for you.
Exactly. And it's interesting you say that about we all should date.
Yes.
When my son was home from college when he was 19, at the time I wasn't dating. I was teaching all day and then I'd come home for a few minutes, let the dog out, feed her, pet her on the head, change clothes, and then I go wait tables at night.
Oh, wow.
That's all I was doing for months and months.
That's a lot.
It was a lot.
Tremendous amount.
It was ridiculous. And my son had told my daughter, you know, I'm really worried about mom. You know, all she does is work. She's not going out. She's not socializing. I mean, it was crazy. And it brought tears to my eyes. Like, oh my God, he actually thought of me like that, you know? Thinking of my feelings, and I was very touched.
That's very nice, very sweet and thoughtful.
And Michaela had called me a couple of times, like, did you call my mom? Have you talked to my, when last time you talked? And I just was thinking, oh my God. So that's when I would call and be like, hey, what you doing? Like, you know, we would talk about her second job and it was, you know, what was going on in her. And I was just like, she's too busy. I'm not even going to remotely pull her away because it was, you know, it was a back-to-back thing. And I was stressed out for her.
That's a lot. That sounds, you know, difficult. Yeah.
But, you know, you do what you got to do for your kids. He's away in college. She's getting ready to go to college in a couple of years. You know, it's all on me. So you got to figure it out. We do what we have to do to make sure our kids have what they need.
That's right.
And I commend you for that. And I would say that, you know, I'm like a non-employee type of person. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have my kids till my 30s. Mm. And before that, I've never been the person to have a job for a long time. I could get a really good job, but it's just not they get on my nerves after a while, those people with their rules and all that. When I had my kids, I had one job for like 5 years. It was work from home. And I had another one here for like 8 years, even though that was more like, you know, independent contracting, just going in for certain, like a special education hearing officer, just going in for the trials.
Okay.
But still, back in my pre-kid days, like, no, thank you. I do not need that level of constant interaction with
you
people.
Will you install that
for your kids?
Will you install that in your kids? Will you install that in your kids to be career driven or have their own business, or is it okay for them to pursue a Fortune 500 company, which is considered, you know, a job, but it's really a career? You know what I'm saying?
What I have always said to my children is get your education, and it would be useful if you could go into an environment. For example, my daughter wants to be an orthodontist. You could work for a dentist for a while. My son's in communications, where you can work for a media company or something for a while, but ultimately we are business owners. So you go in there to see the lessons and how they're doing things and what you would or wouldn't want to do, but we need to have businesses. We need to be in control of our own destiny. I mean, that's what I said. What they're going to do, we'll see. That's what I said.
No, that's good. I think everyone should have a roadmap or a blueprint for their children. Good parents. I think good parents should have that.
What do you tell your kids, Tor?
I pray that they all want to have their own business someday so they can have their, you know, something to pass down to their children. I didn't set their life up like that. I more so taught them how to invest in stuff and make money that way. And they've made, you know, side money. Like I told you, they had their own daycare business. So that's kind of what I've always instilled in them, is to try to work until you get where you want to go. I've never told them at all to just figure it out. I want you, while you're figuring it out, have some type of income. So if you need to, you know, work a job, a 9-to-5, do it, but also make sure that that's not your end goal. So education is first. My brother said, they have to get a college education.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of changing on that, but would you tell your kids with regard to job versus business, Tammy?
Well, I don't have a business mindset. I was raised, you know, got to go to college, get a good job. So that's basically what I've told them, and get your good job so you can be a self-sufficient adult. Mm-hmm. You know, for my daughter, you don't ever have to depend on a man. Mm-hmm. I wasn't raised like that. Yep. She wasn't raised like that. You got to have your own. And as you know, she's going to have her own.
right.
And like I said earlier, I think that comes a lot from with her. You know, I'll give you an example. When she was in the 9th grade, I was working at Meade High School. And you know, here in this county, when it's graduation time, the whole high school shuts down. Mm-hmm. And everybody, all the teachers, staff go to the place, the equestrian center, for graduation. Right. So it was her day, her high school shutting down tomorrow. And she's like, Mom, can I go to school with you tomorrow? I said, you want to get up super early? You know, I got to leave here like 6:15. She's like, yeah, I don't want to be here by myself. I said, your brother's home from college. She's like, no, I don't want to be here by myself. I'm like, okay. So we get up, she goes to school and spends the day with me at Meade. And she must have been in 10th grade because Eric was came home from his freshman year. So she was in 10th grade. These boys, like, Miss G, that's your daughter. That's your daughter. I said, yes, that's my daughter. Ooh, my name's so-and-so. My name is so-and-so. My name is so-and-so. She's like, okay. I got my money. I got my own money. She's like, I have my own money. Yes. And she turned around and walked away.
Yes.
Like, even at what, 14? She was like, oh, whatever, dude.
Yes, it is.
I have my own. I don't need yours.
So. I like that.
That's who she is. So, but now, my son, he's into, you know, having his own and business and setting himself up with investments and things like that. So he will he's creating his own barrel of money, his own wealth with his, you know, investments on the phone, you know, Stash or Robinhood, whatever.
Into that. That generation is into that.
Yeah. So he's doing a lot of that. So I'm really glad that he's, you know, do better than what your mother did, you know. That's why your mother's still working. So
did he go to college too, or he?
Oh yeah,
he got his degree as well.
He hasn't finished. He's almost there.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, he went to.
He'll finish this year.
Okay, that's good. I mean, long as they do what they need, that everybody's got to find their own path.
It's not a choice. Like you must have that, and he's done these many classes and this far along that you're too close to not have it. And the ironic thing is, he likes for these females to be educated.
Yeah.
You know.
How ironic is that?
That is actually hilarious, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
That is funny. Tora, with regard to what you were saying about your kids having a 9-to-5 and having some income and that sort of thing, one of the things that I have said to my children, which is a little against the grain, because I was raised like Tammy, like go to college and get a good job. And so when I would quit these jobs, chatter all behind my back, but you know what? I gotta live my life. But what I've said to my kids is it would actually be better if you start your business earlier, before you have a mortgage, before you have a wife, so that you can grow into living the income that the profit, whatever, that you earn, as opposed to have a fabulous job. That's some crap idea. Have a job, a home, kids, all that. And then I'm just going to do my own business. I'm going to practice on my own now. And then you're up and down trying to maintain. It's better if you just grow into it. But it doesn't always happen that way. However they do, whatever they do, I'm going to support them as long as it's not something stupid.
100%. You know? Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And well, Mia was dating, well, she is dating, so he's not pro athlete yet, but he's going soon to be a pro athlete. And
I thought she was dating a wealthy white guy. Did I get her confused?
No, you
did. She dropped him?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he still wants to come back, but she's on to this.
She's with an athlete who has potential to go pro?
Yeah. And
oh, wow.
Like, really like sought after. And so we had this comment, and one of her friends said when they were over here, they was like, well, you're not going to have to work because, you know, she's like, are you kidding me? I have my own money. She wants to open, you know, she wants to do hair now.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, she does hair anyway, but now she's doing lashes. And so she paid $2,000 of her own money for this lash. Wow. She drove to West Virginia. I paid for the hotel for them to stay in, her and her sister. So she stayed there. It was only a week long class, and she stayed there. She got her little certificate. So I've had people, of course, you saw Michaela's lashes. Have you seen them yet?
Oh yeah, they look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's been doing lashes. So now she's been doing lashes over and over and over, getting, you know, perfecting them, but she wants to open her own shop one day.
And I can make a ton on that. I mean,
and I told her to not quit college, but I told her to just stop college for right now and go to the Paul Mitchell School down on Riva Road. The school, there's a hair school down in Riva. And it's pricey, but I mean, it's worth it, you know? And I said, get that certificate, then go back to college. You could do hair while you're in college and then finish up your degree. But she doesn't want any part of it. She's like, no, I just want my degree.
Thank God, because you know what? Yeah. I don't know. You know your children better than I do. But it has been my experience in seeing how people move that it is very easy to get off college track and get in life track and then never come back to college track. So kind of if you're on college track, if at all possible, just do it. Because, man, you know, it's so easy to be somewhere else and not jump back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think if the money was a motivator, like if she started seeing herself be successful financially, I can't promise you she would go back, because she's driven for college now, but I can't promise you that would drive her back. If she's like, well, I'm already making the money I want to make, so why do I need to
make a lot of money as a side gig as a college student doing all those girls' hairs and lace fronts and lashes, because they are wearing it all.
When I was at Howard, I used to type the football players' papers because I like to type.
Okay,
that's and my father bought me an electric typewriter, so $1 a page.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Yes.
That is really awesome. Yeah, she was doing lashes at college, but she didn't have her certificate and she was scared she was going to get in trouble. But she was charging like $40. Yep.
Wow.
She's making her little stuff. But all of my kids are very talented. They have their own mind to have their own business. My son just catered a big celebrity party this weekend.
Mm-hmm. He catered it? He cooked?
The chef called out at the last minute. He had mentioned to his he's an actor. He had mentioned to his agent and his manager that he loves to barbecue. And they were like, really? And he was like, yeah. And it was just because he was at one of their houses at the time, and they had this big fancy grill overlooking an infinity pool. And he's like, you got to let me come over here and burn on the grill one day. But he said it as, you know, just a conversation. And sure enough, the person was crying to his manager, was like, oh my God, my chef, you know, at the last minute called out. And he's like, oh, I'll find you someone. And so he called up my son. He's like, hey, remember you talking about, he's like, well, they're willing to pay you. He's like, we're on our way. And he jumped in the car, and him and his roommate went over there. And they've been, they were, and I guess, Tammy, that must be a college thing that y'all learned, because he waited tables all through college. Mm-hmm. All through college, that's what he did. And so he's like an expert at it. And he worked at, you know, as a wine connoisseur, you know, at different restaurants that serve good wine. So he's really familiar with that, the restaurant business. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he kind of nailed it, and he landed 3 more jobs after that one job. Yeah. So he's a little mad. He's a little mad about it. He said, I didn't come out here for this. I came out here to pursue my acting career. I mean, I'm happy. I was like, boy, you got to eat. You got to do this. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, you can still work on your acting career.
But acting is going well for him too, right?
Very well. Yeah. It's still very well. But it's just that he doesn't want to be known as this chef who cooks, you know, at the drop of a hat. But I told him, I said, you know, it's a gift. So just go with it. We all like to cook our family. So it's a gift. But yeah, I definitely want them to have their own business. I would love for them to have a career.
Have a career, be self-sufficient.
Yes.
Be happy. I want them to be happy.
Number one thing.
Right. And whatever that looks like.
Whatever that looks like.
No, I took that for granted until I turned 49. And then I said, I know what people mean when they say it's important to be happy. Mm-hmm. I realized I didn't know what it meant. I was like, what is, okay, oh, that's so overrated. Everybody can't be happy. But now, right. I really was like that. I was like, whatever. Really happy all the time. You want to be happy now?
All the time, but most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, life is going to throw, you know, a monkey wrench into your plan every now and then. Yeah. But to be resilient, that's what I notice about kids today.
I
was talking to somebody at work today about it. Like, these kids nowadays, they have no resiliency. Any little thing, they're just crying. Like, what? Oh, what? He did blah, blah, blah in your face. So what? All out, throw a temper tantrum. I mean, they're just, they're emotional wrecks.
I literally just
had many of them. They have zero resiliency. Wow. They're not tall a whole lot. Like, when I went down to elementary 4 years ago, I was shocked to see, how in the world are you in the fourth grade and you don't know how to tie your shoes? You can pick and eat your boogers, but you cannot tie your shoes?
Fourth graders of sound mind? Of sound mind.
What are they wearing? Velcro?
No, sneakers. Regular sneakers.
Who's tying their shoes?
They put their foot out for you to tie. I said, I'm not tying a 9-year-old shoes.
Yeah.
Or you're almost 10 years old.
These kids are of sound mind. We're not talking about autistic children. We're
talking, she doesn't work with special ed.
They're taught nothing. Wow. Taught nothing. And to me, those are skills that should be taught before you even start school in kindergarten.
That's what we did before.
Now, when my son started kindergarten, his teacher, we were living in Indiana, his teacher told the class she was not tying any more shoes past Christmas. Your deadline to learn how to tie your shoes is by Christmas. After, when we come back from Christmas, I'm not tying your shoes.
I like that.
I like that too. I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
But no, fourth grade, fifth grade, there's a fifth grader that I know now. He didn't know how to tie his shoes. I've been telling him for 3 years, you need to learn how to tie your, this is your homework over summer break. This is your homework over the Christmas holiday. You got to learn. He didn't know how to tie his shoes.
Is it the parents' fault?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. They don't teach him anything. They make babies and let them run free.
It's the parents' fault. Like, when they get around middle school, when they get older and they're just doing things, I think maybe your parent isn't telling you that. Maybe you're rebelling or showing out. But at third grade, it's the parent's job to teach some basic skills. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. So
for my last controversial question, are you ready?
No.
I know, you do not have to. If you feel like this is so controversial, you do not have to answer. But it's been bugging me, and I've had this conversation in private because I have a lot of friends that are educators. But I just wanted other viewers to hear maybe your opinion on it. But this gender equality and pushing it forward, meaning you're going to teach a child, look, there's daddy and daddy, there's mommy and mommy. And if you want to be identified as a man and you're a woman, that's fine with us. And if you are a woman, you know, and you want to be a man and you want to be identified as a woman, that's fine. And if you're a woman, you want to be identified as a man, that's fine. Like, we're going to teach this in elementary school so you can grow up with it and it's normalized. How do you feel about that?
I'm glad I don't have any skin in the game. Glad my kids are grown.
Right.
You know, with topics like that, I'll take it back to when I was teaching health and when the human sexuality unit came up. Mm-hmm. Topics like that, I think it would probably be a permission slip. Mm-hmm. You know, if it was being taught. I'm not in the classroom anymore. I've never taught elementary. Mm-hmm. I was always a classroom high school teacher. Mm-hmm. But for things like that, it would have to be a parental permission type thing. But I'm not sure, like, if that would ever be taught. Not ever. I don't know what ever. I mean, I'm looking to retire in less than 10 years. Uh-huh. The sooner the better. I feel like if that was going to be introduced into some type of curriculum, mm-hmm. because right now, looking at the elementary level, these poor teachers don't have time to teach what is supposed to be taught. Okay. And to add one more thing onto their plate to introduce, to try to teach, gain some understanding, it's not going to happen. So that would be the last thing that any powers that be would put out there to, like, oh, we're going to add this to the curriculum. Because my mother has even said over the years, elementary school teachers are the hardest working teachers.
I agree.
You know, and like my first year,
the pandemic made parents realize when I said,
I hope so. Because, you know, when I was in the classroom, I taught one subject. I taught it six times, the same lesson six times, three on A days, three classes on B days. When, you know, but elementary, they teach reading, they teach writing, they teach math, they teach social studies, they teach science, they teach social emotional skills. It is mind boggling. And there is no way on God's green earth that I would have, could have been an elementary school teacher. Both of my grandmothers were elementary school teachers, and I have one grandfather who was an elementary school principal. But there is just no, I am a one subject, maybe two, mm-hmm. subject person, because it's a lot. I feel bad for them. It's a lot. They do a lot. And nowadays, during this pandemic, especially since we've been back in the buildings, they opened up the buildings in February, mm-hmm. And the kids started coming back in March, and these poor teachers, they have kids on the screen, they have kids, you know, in the classroom, and they're trying to teach everybody all at once. It is madness.
You know, the permission slip thing, I think, is phenomenal, because that's actually what happened. I don't recall it with my son, but with my daughter, I recall having to sign a permission slip mm-hmm. in high school uh-huh. for health class to do sensitive topics. And of course, I wanted her to learn them, but I appreciated that I had that option. The other thing is, I've seen just in the last couple of days, a social media post, I think it's upstate New York, where the parents are in an uproar because they were teaching like kindergartners or first graders masturbation.
And oh my God, I just saw that. Had
a cartoon where the little boy said, sometimes it's hard and sticking straight up. Yep. And the little girl talked about touching her vulva.
Yep. What? Like,
I would freak out if you are teaching my 6-year-old something like that. It was a little cartoon.
No, I heard that. And it made me sad, because I feel like it's a time and a place for everything. And I didn't even want my kids knowing anything about any of that. And like I said, I grew up only around Caucasian girls and boys, and when I tell you they were using language that I didn't even interpret it until I got in high school, and I'm like, oh, I mean, literally, like my last year of middle school going into my high school, I learned the lingo of what they were talking mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just
and then you reflect back, like, oh my God, this is what they were talking about.
Hold on to me, like, what does that mean? You know, what did that mean? And then when I actually get, you know, knowledge, I'm like, how did they know this in the fifth grade and fourth, like who was teaching them this? And because it wasn't told in my house, but
because I'm that just made me think of an incident. Several years ago, I had befriended this woman. Her daughter and my daughter were in the same middle school. They were in the same middle school play. So we became friends instantly, and she wanted me to babysit her younger kid, which is great. I'll do it. You know, I live over here near the elementary school. And she was telling me about an incident that happened at the elementary school. I mean, it's all about what kids are seeing, what they're exposed to, because they were having a little girl party. And this one little girl, the leader of the pack, it was her house. She wanted this girl to kiss this girl's parts down there. And then if you're not going to do it, you're not going to be my friend. And I want you to do this to this. They were in the first grade.
How do
you? Like, what? You know, clutch my pearls. Like, what?
Music, well,
like our kids can't stay over everybody's house.
No.
And people, I mean, parents would be well advised to pay attention to what music and movies you are letting your kids see or you're watching while they're around, because they see and hear it, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I was appalled when this mother was telling me what was going on.
Childhood is
gone. Because the little one came home, you know, as my daughter would say, she was shook, you know? It was just like, what is wrong with you? What is going on? And so she, you know, was upset and didn't want to tell her mom, but she did. And oh my goodness.
I wouldn't want them knowing that's even a possibility, an option at that age. It's too much. It's just too much everything.
Like, what is that little girl seeing, witnessing, being a part of? Is she being abused? You know, what is going on?
Are you at liberty to say the race of this situation?
The friend of mine, they were Black.
Okay.
The party, they were not.
Okay. That's I had it visualized exactly like that. I just wanted to confirm my vision.
I know at those ages.
The ringleader was
witness. Of course.
At those ages, I went to the party too.
Mm-hmm.
At that age, you would be hard pressed to do that to my children because mom's at the party. Right. The moms are at the parties. Back in their days, we were at parties and we would talk to each other, but
trying
to see what's going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, our kids didn't get invited to some of the gymnastics parties, but that was fine with us.
We made our own party, right,
girl?
We
made our own parties. That was
right.
Oh, yeah. So we're glad that those messed up kids and parents didn't invite our children.
And I actually feel, you know, not good about it for them. You know, I'm glad that ours aren't a part of it, but that's horrible that you don't even just get to be a kid. You shouldn't even know anything about that at those ages. That's crazy.
Absolutely.
No, it does. It's abuse. It's a form of abuse, and it takes away their innocence. And I know it does. You can see it. So we protected ours, and hopefully our kids, when they grow up and realize how mama bear I feel like we were or I was, that they'll appreciate it, because I think they do now. They've heard so many stories, and they've all often come back and say, mama, where was their parents or where was their mom? And because they
the funny thing is, Tora, like their friends have talked about, wow, you're really lucky your mom is like that. Your mom does that? Yep. Wow, you're really lucky. Oh yeah, both of my kids have had friends. Like even when my son was going off to college, one of his friends, who he's been friends with since, you know, kindergarten, first grade, whatever. He said, wow, you know, you're really lucky because your mom was strict. Yep. And now look at you going off to Virginia Tech, blah, 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 blah. And when they were in sixth grade, the same boy had said to my son, they wanted to do something stupid in the talent show. And I'm like, no, you're not doing that. Like, if he wants to do that, you're not doing that.
Right.
So it was not up for discussion. I heard you. The decision has been made. We're done. And he went off to do his own thing. And the other boy's mom was jogging by and we started chit-chatting. And she's like, wow, you guys must be really good parents. I said, why do you say that? Well, you know, her son said that Eric won't be able to do the talent show. I said, no, he's not doing that because that's foolishness. They'll be, you know, teased until they finish high school. Like, I'm not going to have my son go through that, no. And well, you know, our son, he's been begging and begging. I said, you see this house? This boy is 11 years old. He does not pay one bill up in this house. He is in charge of nothing. Yep. So the decision has been made. It's over. It's done with. She's like, wow, that's really good. This is not rocket science.
They're crazy. They're crazy. My kids are always like, oh yeah, you know, well, they're like white parents because they know we don't play that.
I'm in charge of nothing in here.
There you go.
I've heard that. And I'll go to my grave saying, I think kids want structure. You know,
they need structure.
I think they want it too, because mainly every kid that comes in this house knows that you're going to hear it from me. You know, I don't know how to like filter certain things, but you're going to hear it from me. So I don't think they even want to cross that path. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think they want to say, okay, well, we put you in harm's way, or we're going to advise you to do something, because I'm going to be the end all be all behind any of it. Right. So I think that once parents know that, because Tammy, you know that parents would call me and ask, hey, is me and Victoria going to this? No. Okay, well, our kids aren't going either. You know, right. It was like, no, because I already thoroughly vetted the craziness over there. We are not participating, because I'm going to be the end all be all if something don't go right.
Right.
If something to mine, I won't be the only one crying. I promise you that. So that's always been my motto in life. So I feel like kids respect that, and they feel
protected. They do.
You know, they don't feel like they're just free falling through life. They feel some type of protection. Like, okay, well, I know she got my back. If it's something, like our kids have called us up when they're in a place they don't want to be. And I've said it before. They're like, okay, I'm going to put you on speaker. Go. And I got to be the bad guy. I got to be like, bring y'all home right now. You see what time it is. Oh, my mother tripping, y'all. I got to go.
Yeah, or just recently my son texted me and said, can you just text me and tell me to come on back now?
I'm
on it.
But to the crowd, they got to pretend like you wanted them home. But
I'm happy to take the heat.
I'm willing to do that. I could be the bad guy all day for y'all if you need to. Get home
safe. Absolutely.
Yep, I have to care less.
So, ladies, I always have to be the party pooper. It is our time has come to an end. We have enjoyed you, Tammy. I hope you
had fun.
See, I thought it would be.
And we took it easy on you.
I appreciate that.
No, I didn't.
I was nervous. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I want to do this.
No, we enjoyed you so much and had a good time, and hope that down the road you'll come back. We have some other topics to talk about and join us again.
Back. This was painless.
See?
Perfect.
Come back.
we'll do our wine, sipping wine tasting one night.
Okay.
We could do that one night.
That'll work.
Fun. Yes.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you too, Tammy.
Bye, Tara.
We're all going to have our moment together.
Okay, we will. Okay.
Works for me.
Love you.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. So thank you all for joining us today. We appreciate your presence and look forward to seeing you again next time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.